Okay, here we go. Adults, here we go. Buckle in for this one. It's going to be a little bit, some of you will say yes and amen, and some will go, well, you know, I don't know about this. But I'm saying this is a yes and amen type of a message for everybody who's here. You know, actually, this last week, Revison and I went to the IAMCS Leadership Conference, and we had a good time catching up with some of the other rabbis and Revisons that were there, some of the other leadership that was there. We got some rest while we were there, some spiritual refreshing while we were there. But I got to be honest with you, the drive down and the activities that are there and the drive back, it kind of offsets the rest a bit. You know what I'm saying? But it's worth it. I'm just saying that we're not all that rested because of it. Refreshed, yes, but rested maybe not so much. Well, while we were there, though, there was some news that we weren't aware of previously. Some, you know, one or two that we knew, a lot of it that we didn't know. And we're talking about health of some of the rabbis and their wives who were there. Now, these are not the normal, everyday kind of health concerns. We're not talking about someone had the flu or someone had a cold. But these are more serious needs that really need to be prayed over. Life-threatening needs that can only be healed by Adonai. Those are the kind of things that I'm talking about. And I'm reminded about what Yeshua said about praying and what it takes for some healings to take place. We should remember the telling of the miracle of the healing of the boy with the evil spirit by Yeshua. That's in both Matthew and Mark. We're told about it in both books. Right after Yeshua came down from the mountain with Peter, James, and John, right after they saw the transfiguration and Moses and Elijah were there, Yeshua walked up to a large crowd that was around the other disciples. The crowd of men were arguing with the disciples. And Yeshua asked why. They told him that they brought a boy to the disciples to be healed of an evil spirit. And they weren't able to. And that this angered them. This evil spirit would throw the boy into fire and into waters, trying to kill him. Yeshua told them to bring the boy to him. And when they did, the evil spirit manifested. And the boy was thrown to the ground in convulsions, and he was foaming at the mouth. Yeshua commanded the spirit to leave the boy. And that foul spirit had no other choice but to follow his instructions, the instructions of Yeshua. Then we read this in Mark 9. Mark 9:28, starting there. After Yeshua came into the house, the disciples began questioning him in private. Why couldn't we drive it out? And he said to them, this kind cannot come out except by prayer and fasting. Now, I put "and fasting" in italics or underlined for you at home because it's not in all versions of Scripture. But it's in some, and the TLV, the Tree of Life version, has it in the footnote that it's included in some manuscripts. Prior to this, the disciples were praying, and they were able to pray with people and see healings and other miracles. Otherwise, the people wouldn't have brought the boy to them. Historically, there's some question about the order of things that happened in Scripture. I just want to touch on this for a moment. Did Yeshua send out the disciples prior to or after this incident with the boy with the evil spirit. Well, we don't really know. There are those who say it could happen this way. There are those that say it happened that way. What we do know, what we can say for certain, is that the people brought the boy to the disciples believing that they would be able to heal the boy, to drive out that spirit from the boy. The disciples thought so too. It wasn't something that was sprung on them that they didn't expect. We know they did try. And Yeshua's answer to the disciples as to why they could not indicates that they should have been able to. They should have expected to be able to drive out that spirit. But they would be able to if they were fully lined up with him. He told them the right way to do this. What was the right way to line up? What was the right way to pray and fast? Now, fasting is nothing new. We all know that it's not the most popular form of prayer. It's not the most popular way to get close to Adonai or the Ruach HaKodesh. We see that Scripture calls for it during Passover when it says this in Leviticus 16:29. It says, "It is to be a statute for you forever that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of that month, you are to afflict your souls and you are to do no kind of work, both the native born and the outsider dwelling among you." So that means for Jews and Gentiles, this is expected. "For on this day, atonement is made for you to cleanse you. And from all your sins, you will be clean before Adonai. It is a Sabbath of solemn rest to you, and you are to afflict your soul. It is a statute forever." What does afflict your soul mean when it says that you are to afflict your soul? When we combine this with what we're told in Numbers 29 about Passover, we get a clearer picture. So Numbers 29:7 says this, "On the 10th day of the 7th month, you are to have a sacred assembly. You are to deny yourself and do no work." We see the connection of the instruction about the afflicted soul and the denied self. The rabbis agree this is an instruction to fast during Passover. The reason given is it's a means of aligning with Adonai for atonement, cleansing oneself of sin, and the ridding of spirits that would attach themselves to us. We also see another reference to fasting in Isaiah 58. Here Adonai, through the prophet Isaiah, says that the people think they know the scriptures and the ways of Adonai, but they were wrong. At the start of Isaiah 58, Adonai says this about his people. You know, and first he gives an instructions to Isaiah. Isaiah 58:1. "Cry aloud, do not hold back, raise your voice like a shofar, tell my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sin." So here we have the instructions to Isaiah. "Yet they seek me day to day and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did right and had not forsaken their God's decree. They asked me for righteous judgments. They delight in the nearness of God." Adonai instructs Isaiah to shout or to yell out loud like a shofar to Adonai's people because they're sinning when they think that they're doing okay when they think they know God. They think they're near Him. They want His righteous judgments, but they're wrong. Why? Let's continue reading in Isaiah 58. Listen for the cries of Israel to Adonai. Why have we fasted, yet you don't see? Why have we afflicted our soul, yet you take no notice? That's what Israel's saying. Hey, look at us. We're doing good. We're fasting. We're praying. Continuing, it says, behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and exploit all your laborers. Behold, you fast for strife and contention and to strike with a wicked fist. You should not fast as you do today to make your voice heard on high. Isaiah says that even when they do pray and fast, they do it for their own advancement. It was not for the glory of Adonai, nor for the needy, but only for themselves and to request their own pleasures and their own gain over the laborers in the field. They want to cause wickedness on others, so they pray and they fast with the wrong intentions. This is why Adonai says that they should not fast. It's not that fasting is bad, it's that their heart attitudes were bad. So don't even bother, he's basically saying. Then Adonai goes on to say this through the voice of the prophet. Isaiah 58:5. Is this the fast I've chosen? A day for one to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a reed, to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to Adonai? Is not this the fast I chose? And here he comes. He's going to describe the fast that he really wants. To release the bonds of wickedness, to untie the cords of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to tear off every yoke. First, he says that the way that they're fasting is wrong. They were bowing down, and they were spreading out sackcloth. They were throwing ashes in the air. But why? It was so that others could see them and think of them as being pious. He says this is a wrong fast. The fast should be to release the things that bind the people to wickedness and to break the cords of the yoke that's on the oppressed so that they can be freed. It's not to be seen by others or to make yourself think more about yourself. That also means that healings and the release of those who are currently in the grip of evil spirits, of illness, are the ones that we are to be praying for and fasting for. We read that healings are not the only things to fast for, but it certainly is a very good reason to fast. Isaiah then goes on to say this, starting in Isaiah 58:7. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked to cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh and blood? When your light will then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will spring up speedily. Your righteousness will go before you, the glory of Adonai as your rear guard. Then you will call, Adonai will answer. You will cry, and he will say, Hineni, here I am. Adonai says fasting in the traditional way that we think of fasting and denying yourself of food is good, but you can do better. Share your food. Share your home. Give clothing to the naked. And don't just turn away from your brothers and sisters and neighbors. And when you do these things, then you fast correctly. Then your light will shine out and there will be healings. Now, I was looking on Facebook this morning, just before coming, and there was a post with a bunch of scriptures that say, you know, love your neighbor, help your neighbor, you know, provide for your neighbor, bring in the homeless. And the response from one person was, does that mean I should share my wife? Does that mean I should bring the robber into my house? I really wanted to respond with, you have a complaint. Complain to Adonai. These are his words. When you do your prayer and fasting correctly, you do it correctly, then you will have a righteousness that will go out before you. And Adonai's glory will be your protection. When you fast in the right spirit, then he will answer you and will say to you, Hanani, here I am. And when he is there with you, there will be blessings and there will be healings, not just for you, but for those that you pray for. We fast to release the bonds of wickedness and untie the cords of the yoke and to let the oppressed go free. This is the yoke of illness, and the oppression of the body is ensnared by Satan. We even pray for salvation, for those cords to be broken so they're no longer ensnared by the world and by Satan, for Satan. We pray for those sick and in need. But that does not mean that the person did wrong necessarily. What it does mean is that the person is being attacked, and the intensity of the prayers need to be stepped up. Think back to Yeshua's healing of the boy with the evil spirit that we started with. Did he not say to the disciples that they were not able to do it because they were weak? No, he didn't say that. He said that with this kind of spirit, the prayer that was needed was different than the normal prayer and deliverance. Fasting is a spiritual discipline that releases a greater power of the Ruach to not only heal, but to give wisdom and discernment and an ear that will hear from him. When we look at what happens in Acts 13, we see what prayer and fasting did for them. And it can do it for you as well. Reading from Acts 13, starting in verse 1. Now, in the Antioch community, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius the Cyrenian, Manaen, brought up since childhood with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, who we say Shaul. While they were serving the Lord and fasting, the Ruach HaKadosh said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then they fasted, praying, and laying hands on them, they sent them off. Now in Antioch, there were many there, and included in the community were prophets and teachers, among others. In fact, there were not just a few, but Luke, the writer of Acts, gives us the names of just a few who were assumed to be leaders of the community, at least in the fields of prophecy and teaching. It was while they were fasting that the Ruach spoke to them the instructions to send out specific people. We don't even really know if they were asking Adonai for something specific. They were just asking to be aligned with them. That is when the Ruah called out the two specifically. And then I called out for the called out from the many, Barnabas and Saul, Shaul, for the specific work that he wanted done in a specific place. The others may have had different works to do, but we're not told about them. It doesn't mean that they didn't do works. It didn't mean that they weren't powerful works that were done. It just means we weren't told about them. So, the two were chosen, but they weren't done praying and they weren't done fasting yet. Verse 3 says, they were then fasted and prayed even more before laying hands on them and sending them off to do the work that they were set apart for. Prayer and fasting gave them the who and the what and the how. And then they fasted and prayed some more and laid hands on them so that the seal of power of Adonai, to empower them by the Ruach so that they could go forth in victory. The same God then has the same game plan today for us to be heard by Him. We are to pray and yes, and even fast when we are wanting to be strengthened by Him and aligned with Him. And I'm not saying this is the only way. I am saying that this is the way that is described for us to follow when there are things that need to be done in the community of believers and when there is a spirit that needs to be broken down or driven out that is not responding to normal prayer. They say that the focused prayer and self-denial channels the divine power of Adonai, leading to changed hearts, spiritual restoration, and healings, even if the person is resistant to the change or the spirit is strong. We know that Adonai is stronger than any spirit, but there are times that we join with Him in prayer that we need to step up our game to have the extra effectiveness that takes place, that's needed to take place even. We know the scripture that states this in James. James, starting in chapter 5, verse 15. The prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. So confess your offenses to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous person is very powerful. The word for effective prayer is the same word that's used in Romans 10:1, which says this, brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for Israel is for their salvation. Shaul says that my heart's desire and my prayer for Israel is that they be saved. What kind of prayer did Shaul pray for Israel? It was with all his heart that he prayed for them. He says if it was possible, he would even change places with them so that they would have salvation. So they would know Messiah and the atonement that came with it. That's a fervent, deep-hearted desire and prayer. We're called to this kind of prayer also when we pray for others. I know that our prayer prayed in faith is a powerful tool. I also know that it does not always come as easily as it should. We need to focus ourselves so that our prayers don't just sound good but so that they'll avail much. To be acted upon by the Ruach, to be heard and acted upon by the Ruach. This is the kind of prayer that we all should be praying. Each and every time that we're praying and trying to get hold of the ear of Adonai. One of the ways that we do this is by combining our prayers with fasting. Let's face it, we would not, especially people these days, forego a meal unless we were serious about what we were praying for. People who diet are serious about losing weight. People who fast are serious about what they're praying for. If they're not, then all they're doing is being hungry. We need to also keep in mind that we fast and pray not to gain things, but to have Adonai's glory revealed. Look what Yeshua said in Mark 8. Mark 8:34, starting there. Then he called the crowd along with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone wants to follow me," here are the steps, "he must deny himself, take up his cross, and keep following me." Don't give up. Keep following me. "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and for the sake of the good news will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul?" What price do we put on seeing the glory of God? He says to deny yourself and to follow him if you want to see the glory of God. If I may paraphrase his words, if I'm allowed to, I would say that what does it profit a man to have a meal yet forfeit seeing the glory of Adonai? Because when we fast to see the glory of God. See it in the situation that we're praying about. When we think in these terms, it makes it easier to fast. And it makes it the idea of fasting more valuable to us. I'm not saying this is my best spiritual discipline. Don't get me wrong. Fasting doesn't come easy. But it is one that all of us could improve upon. Fasting along with prayer indicates the sincerity of those praying and the critical nature of the situations in which they find themselves. Fasting doesn't change Adonai. Rather, it changes us, making us more sensitive to his spirit and more aligned with his will. Well, we keep hearing that word aligned. Fasting shows a reliance on his power over our own strengths. And it gives our prayers an ability to break through by removing ourselves and the many things that clutter our lives by focusing on him and on the prayer. Now, I know there are going to be those that are going to say, "How can I concentrate on a prayer where my stomach is grumbling so loud?" Well, let that grumbling stomach tell you something. Let it remind you why you're praying. Let it remind you what you're praying for. Take hold of your thoughts and turn them back to what you're praying for. Don't let the hunger pains distract you, but instead let them direct you in your prayer back to him. At the conference, it was presented a good number of people and leaders who were there for a long time in the movement that needed prayer. I really don't remember in past years this many people who were lifted up in prayer, serious prayer I'm talking about. Joel Lieberman is a great leader in the movement for over 30 years. Recently diagnosed with ALS. Rabbi Eric Tokinger, another one who's been in the movement for many, many years, is the father of another generation of rabbi. Even on the day that he was there for the conference, got a phone call to say his wife, Pam, was diagnosed with early stages of dementia. We heard the news that Rebbezin Ellen Farber had died just a few days before the conference. They were in from Israel for the conference, met with a senior rabbi the day before. She told Rabbi Jack, "I think something's wrong. We need to go back to Israel." He went into the other room to book the tickets. When he came back, she was slumped over dead. Then, just another couple of days later, Rabbi Jack Farber was put into the hospital because a blood vessel burst in his head and he lost feeling in his arm and leg. We also got news that Rabbi Rob Kirsch was hit by a car while riding his bike just the day before the conference started. And we continue to pray for Rabbi Jeff Adler, fighting for his life with a disease that's fighting for the control of his body. I don't know of another year that we had so much news of Satan pressing in at one time on the Messianic movement. And I believe on believers as a whole. And I believe that it can only mean that we're at a turning point in the world. Satan is fighting hard to have it turn his way. But I also know that Adonai is greater and will have his hand over all of this. Knowing that Adonai is great and has control of all things does not release us of our responsibility in doing our part. At the conference, it was determined that on the Shabbat of January 17, 2026, there will be a day of unity in prayer and fasting throughout the IMS congregations. So I'm asking you to join in unity with prayer and fasting. Next week, we will not be having an Oneg, but instead of an hour of prayer before our Torah for today's study. We'll be praying for healings. We'll pray over these healings. We'll pray over other healings that you bring along or that we hear of. I'm asking that no food be brought into the building on that day. Now, if you're not able to fast the full day, have breakfast, but fast the Oneg with us. If you're taking medication and you can't fast, I understand, but I'm asking you not to bring the food into the building, but join us for our time of prayer. A partial fast, or for those who are not able to fast at all, if you pray with the proper heart, we'll be honored by Adonai. For those not able to fast, as I say, due to medications, just don't bring food in, but, you know, leave it outside and then come back in for prayer. So that's what we're going to be doing next week. We'll have our regular service. Then we'll go into a time of prayer for an hour, 50 minutes. And then we'll do our Torah for today. And who knows? With the fast, maybe our Torah for today will dig up even deeper into the Torah. For you at home, you can join us in a fast. It's going to be from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock. We're not going to be online for it, but you can join with us. You've heard these needs. You know the needs in your own life, in your own family, in your own neighborhood for healings. Pray for those as well. Knowing Adonai is not a God of a single location. So when you pray and fast at home, he'll hear those prayers just as surely as he'll hear our prayers here in the sanctuary. So that's what we're going to be doing next week. So expect that. Adonai, we thank you and praise you for your word. Your words of encouragement, your words of power, your words of instruction, your words of how to pray, when to pray, how and when to fast, why we're to pray and fast. Ruach HaKodesh, I just ask that you would put it upon our hearts, our minds, and our spirits to join together with the other congregations of IAMS and possibly even more people, as we come together in unity to pray for healing, for things that are said to be unhealable. They're only unhealable by man's hands, not by yours. You can do, and we'll pray that you do. For those who are in need of the binding up of wounds, we'll pray for those who need for their heads to be clarified of things like dementia, of things like Alzheimer's. We'll be praying for that because you are a God who can. Not a God that we want to, as if, gee, I really hope he can. You're a God who can, and we will be calling on your name. Not just then, but leading up to then as well. Ruach HaKodesh, we thank you for the power that you place upon us by your spirit and by the knowledge of how to fast and how to pray. We just thank you and praise you that you've given us these tools, not tools of our own strength and knowledge, but spiritual tools of strength and knowledge. We praise you and thank you that you truly are a great, great God. Regardless of what we go through, regardless of what happens, we will always have our trust in you. And everyone said, amen and amen.